collaboration with the National Council of Catholic Men, presents The Catholic Hour. A group of the Paulist choristers open the Catholic Hour singing excerpts from the Lamentations of Jeremias the prophet, which are used in the Office of Tenebrae on the last three nights of the Holy Week. In these lamentations, Jeremias weeps over the miseries which his people suffered at the hands of the Babylonians. Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen of the Catholic University of America will now deliver the 16th in his series of 17 addresses on the general subject, peace. His discourse tonight is entitled, The Crucifixion. I present Monsignor Sheen.
Friends, looking out on the four horsemen spreading death, disease, war, and famine over the earth, we are tempted to ask, why does God let this happen? That is an incomplete sentence from the theological point of view. Finish it, and it reads this way: Why does God let this happen to himself? What a different light that casts on the tragedy of war. To realize that in some mysterious way, Christ is living, suffering, thirsty, being imprisoned and dying in us, and that this war is his passion. This does not mean that the historical Christ who was born of Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, and is now glorified at the right hand of the Father, suffers again in the same human nature, for having died once, he can never die again. But it does mean that the Christ who is the head of the body, which is the church, does suffer again. Did not our Lord himself say that anyone who would do anything to one incorporated to him would be doing it unto him? And whosoever receives, he said, one such little child for my sake, receives me. Did he not picture himself as going through the world hungry, thirsty, imprisoned, and sick, and telling us that those who served the little ones in his name would serve him? As he put it, "For I was hungry, and you gave me to eat. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you covered me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Apply this now to the world war. Christ's life in his individual human nature is glorified, but Christ's life in his church and all those incorporated to him by baptism is not yet glorified. He is growing to his full stature in us, as he grew to his full stature in the nature he took from Mary. The crucifixion of Good Friday is not only something that happened 1900 years ago, it is something that is happening now, as the cross is erected in our midst today. From a spiritual point of view, there are no national causes. There is only a conflict of those who crucify Christ and those who are crucified with him. Consider first how our Lord is made to suffer today by those who crucify him, by Judas, and Pilate, and the executioners. Judas still roams the world, and the person of all those who were baptized to Christ and called to be one with him, but have fallen away from their high destiny by selling out. In the catalog of fascism, of Nazism and communism, you will find those who in their youth were signed with the sign of the cross and sealed with the seal of salvation, became like Judas and bargained away their Christian heritage for 30 pieces of silver from the coffers of a transitory political power. Come over the list of other nations, and you will discover that those leaders who either welcomed International Congress of Militant Atheists to their midst or turned their backs on the rights of religion were those who, like Judas, were once called to be defenders of the faith. Those who do most harm to the cause of Christ are not those souls who are left barren in their naturalness, but those called like Judas to live and move with the Son of God. The Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane still has his lips blistered with a kiss. And in his last gracious love to win them back, he still whispers, "Judas, dost thou betray the Son of Man with a kiss?" pilot lives too. He lives in all those teachers and jurors who deny an absolute, who feel that right and wrong are only points of view, who flatter themselves on their broad-mindedness as they allow the mob to choose between Barabbas and Christ, who have a feeling that possibly Christ is the Son of God, but who would not assert it lest they lose favor with Caesar, who, when they are brought face to face unequivocally with divine truth, ask the same question asked by Pilate: what is truth? And then turn their back on it. Put the creed, therefore, in the present tense. Christ is suffering under Pontius Pilate. The executioners still walk the earth, too. Brutal blind forces which ignore the divine, take orders from higher ups, persecute the Christ in his church, profane his Eucharistic presence, nail his mystical body to a tree, and then with the calmness of their ancestors beneath Calvary, shake and dice. Sit and watch. While being enacted before them, they might even throw their own dice. There is the great drama of the world's redemption, and they only sit and watch. But if there are those who crucify, there are those also who are crucified with Christ. Those who are hunted because they believe in him, and of whom our Lord foretold, if the world hates you, know that it hath hated me before you. Yes, he said, the hour is coming for everyone when he who killed you will think that he has done a service to God. And as our Lord suffered on that cross, he looked forward to all times and to all peoples, and offered not only himself but all the members of his church to his heavenly Father. And that oblation we complete in ourselves. And in the language of St. Paul, we say, what is lacking of the sufferings of Christ, I fill up in my flesh for his body, which is the church. How can we fill up the suffering of Christ? Was his passion incomplete? Most certainly not. It means that all our sufferings, pains, were in his thoughts on the cross and were offered to God the Father for us. But they were wanting in the sense that they had not yet been endured in our flesh. That the passion be completed in any soul is necessary that the part assigned to him be realized and actualized in his own body. Each of us, therefore, must finish in his life and in his soul the vision of the dying Christ. The Son of God has given us the sublime vocation of sharing in the fellowship of the cross. He has called each one of us to be a redeemer with a small r, as he is a redeemer with a capital R. To each and every one of us, he says, here is a splinter from the cross that I have been carrying from the foundation of the world. We are not to think, therefore, as God is standing outside the sufferings of the world, apart and aloof, in the untroubled serenity of heaven. God is not a spectator to the drama of suffering. He has come down as its greatest tragedian and as sin's greatest victim. If he points to a forest and bids us enter, it is because his feet have already made the pathway through the thickets and thorns. if he bids us to take up a cross daily and follow him, it is because he has already borne it on his own shoulders. God is not outside the tears and the tragedy of life. In every pang that rends the heart of a man, woman, or child, God has his share. We cannot meet a cross in our respective ways of life, but that he already took it at the foot of the steps of Pilate's temple and made it the badge of his glory and the symbol of a Christian. We cannot have feet tired and worn from the service of others, but that his own were calloused and going about doing good. Nailed to a cross, too, for having been too good. We cannot have the sorrow of losing friends or a mother, but that he himself already felt the rent in his own heart as he left a friend to a mother on the gibbet of the cross. If our lot in war was therefore a lot of tragedy and suffering and sacrifice, it will be done gladly, because he with us is once more redeeming a world. It was this vision that sustained the soldier as he carried his pack. And the true Christian soldier, like Joyce Kilmer, will think of his task in the light of the Passion of Christ. My shoulders ache beneath my pack. Lie easier, cross, upon his back. I march with feet that burn and smart. Tread holy feet upon my heart. Men shout at me who may not speak. They scourge thy back and smote thy cheek. I may not lift a hand to clear my eyes of salty tears that sear. Then shall my fickle soul forget thy agony of bloody sweat. My rifle hand is stiff and numb from thy pierced palm, red rivers come. Lord, thou didst suffer more for me than all the hosts of land and sea. So let me render back again the millions of thy gift. Amen. Because we are in Christ, we will try to reproduce, therefore, the sentiments of Christ in his cross. And to those who make us suffer, who nail us to a cross, we will say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. They thought, O Heavenly Father, they were crucifying a man. And they think now they're crucifying a human institution, when in reality they are, like Paul before his conversion, persecuting you. They do not know that every nail is aimed at thee, O Christ. Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. Two thieves did blaspheme thee on the cross, and yet one of them was saved. Many, too, are suffering in the world today without solving its mystery in thee, cursing, blaspheming thee from their beds and their battlefields. Give us thy vision, O Jesus, that we may never despair of converting even those who blaspheme thee. Grant that some of them, like the thief on the right, may hear thy words. Amen, I say to thee. this day thou shalt be with me in paradise. From thy cross, O Christ, thou didst commend thy dear mother to thy beloved disciple, and thy beloved disciple to thy dear mother. May we, nailed on our cross like thee, see that when duty fastens us there, that we stay to do thy will, and if need be, make the surrender of loved ones and family. Woman, behold thy son. When darkness did so envelop thy cross, and the sun hid its light at high noon, when suspended between heaven and earth, thou didst feel that both heaven and earth had rejected thee, thou didst never once lose in thy human nature thy hold on God, crying, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Give us strength, O Jesus, when we seem abandoned in darkness and pain, when all seems lost, and the wise of earth are never answered, to cry out in undying confidence, "My God, my God." When thou didst turn to me and say, "I thirst," thou meant not a thirst for water, but a thirst for love from the hearts thou madest. May the chalice of thy Gethsemane filled with the wine of suffering be unto my lips as salt. Make me thirsty to spread thy name and love before men, so that in the end I may measure my life not by the wine that I drank, but by the wine I poured forth. Under thy cross men challenged, "If he is the King of Israel, let him come down and we will believe." But thou didst stay until the task was done, and in triumph did cry out that the work was perfected. O Jesus, grant that whatever may be my lot in life, whether it be in light or darkness, to hold my faith, to fight the good fight, to run the course, to stay on the cross until evening comes. Thou didst give thy body and blood to earth. Thou didst give thy mother to John, and John to thy mother. But thy spirit thou didst keep for thy heavenly Father. Grant that I may keep my spirit too, amidst the wars and sorrows of this world, so that at the end I can give it back to thee from whence it came. Let the last word of my life be, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." God love you. O Lord Jesus Christ, who in thy mercy heareth the prayers of sinners, pour forth, we beseech thee, all grace and blessing upon our country and its citizens. We pray in particular for the President, for our Congress, for all our soldiers, for all who defend us in ships, whether on the seas or in the skies, for all who are suffering the hardships of war. We pray for all who are in peril or in danger. Bring us all after the troubles of this life into the haven of peace, and reunite us together forever, O dear Lord, in thy glorious heavenly kingdom.
The address you have just heard was entitled The Crucifixion and was delivered by Monsignor Fulton J. Sheen of the Catholic University of America. This was the 16th in Monsignor Sheen's series of 17 addresses on peace. A copy of tonight's talk, or of the Holy Hour booklet described by Monsignor Sheen, may be obtained by writing to the National Council of Catholic Men, Washington, D.C., or to the station to which you are now listening. The Catholic Hour concludes with the singing of the versicle, Christus Factus Est. Christ was made obedient even unto death. This versicle is used at the conclusion of the Tenebrae services in Holy Week. Mr. Henri Marcuse, the chanter.
Christus factus est pro nobis
Sunday at 6 o'clock, Eastern Wartime, Monsignor Sheen will deliver the last in a series of addresses entitled The Resurrection. Your announcer is John Patrick Costello. The Catholic Hour has been presented by NBC in cooperation with the National Council of Catholic Men as a public service and came to you from New York.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.